on a bus, brakes on a car, brakes to make you a superstar, brakes to win and brakes to lose, but these here brakes will rock your shoes, and these are the brakes. Break it up, break it up, break it up.
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday, November 10th, 2017, and 2 days from now, the Green Bay Packers will be down in Chicago to take on the Bears, the second of their two matchups in this year's NFC North. It's a huge game for the Packers. They're 4-4 right now, but they are going to fall perilously far behind if they continue to drop games. They've already lost three in a row. Four could be a death sentence for a season that already looks like it's headed that way anyway. And here to discuss everything with me is fellow beat reporter Tom Silverstein. Tom, how are you?
Great. Boy, are you a negative Nelly.
I'm such a negative Nelly. I'm just setting the tone for the most negative of Nellies. Let's talk about what happened with Martellus Bennett this week. What do you think of the whole situation?
Who?
Yeah, the guy that plays for the Patriots now.
The guy who is going wherever he can get a Super Bowl ring. I've seen this playbook before, believe it or not. In fact, I was talking to a player, and it occurred to me, he was saying, boy, I've never seen this before. It's strange, you know, I don't know really what to think of it. And I hearken back to 2000-something when Mike McKenzie, a cornerback for the Packers, did not get along with Mike Sherman. And he just all of a sudden came up with an injury. He wanted an extension. He wanted he didn't want anything to do with Sherman. He just decided he's going to get out of here. And his playbook was to come up with an injury. The Packers had to honor it, and eventually they just realized, you know, he wasn't, you know, going to be here. He didn't want to be here, and they traded him. Now, a lot of people thought that was a big mistake, that they'd given in to him and that would set a lot of precedent. Regardless, this is very similar. Bennett obviously didn't want to be here once Rodgers got hurt. I mean, I think we can all safely say
I think that's
that.
Pretty obvious.
You know, I mean, and you can't tell me that Bill Belichick just took a flyer on Bennett without some kind of contact with his agent to let to see, okay, what's his future? Does he want to play? I mean, it costs them nothing. So, you know, on one hand, he could just do it, and then they could cut him tomorrow if they wanted to. I think he still has to pass a physical. I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to pass it, but I'm sure they want to take a look at his shoulder and see if he can play. I just think at this point, the Packers are going to do everything they can to punish him, I think, and get their money back on him. I'm sure they're furious that he decided after how many weeks of not missing a single practice.
Yep.
Not missing a single game, playing 88% of the snaps or something like that.
And then he comes up with an injury in a non-padded practice.
Yeah, exactly. After the bye week, after he posted on Instagram that he's going to retire after the season. So.
And after Brett Hundley looked pretty bad for the very first time.
Right, yeah. So, you know, just we're not idiots. We all know what happened here. And, I think it's ultimately best that you don't have a player who doesn't want to be there. I think that's just hurts your team. And he hadn't done anything in the passing game. He was very good as a run blocker. And I don't know how they'll replace that. It'll be kind of interesting to see whether they can replace it. But Martellus Bennett, we hardly knew you. It's all over. You know, this is just yet another team that, you know, has on his belt, or whatever you want to say, another pelt on his wall. He dictated what he wanted, and he's gone now.
So my take on the whole thing is that I think you have a guy that showed early on, even dating back to training camp, that he didn't really have a whole lot of interest in practicing. He would participate when they asked him to, but he was loafing around. He would
during the individual stuff, you know. But I thought in the actual team drills, he made a lot of plays in those drills. I didn't think he loafed then.
I thought after a play, it would take him a long time to get back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I guess the way I sort of look at it is, if I'm somebody else in that locker room, I know that they can't really afford to spend time being pissed about it because they have other things that they need to focus on. But I'd be pissed. I'd be angry. And I think it makes it a little more difficult to swallow because of Martellus' personality. If you had the quiet demeanor of a Quentin Rollins and you pulled the exact same thing where, you know, all of a sudden you just fake an injury or have an injury that's exaggerated and then you leave, I think that would be one thing. But to be as outspoken as Bennett was, to be as gregarious and to command the long media sessions that he did, I think that coupled with now he leaves as soon as Rodgers gets hurt, it's like, well, were you conning us this whole time? Did you really, you know, what is your deal?
The whole wearing a cheese head and sleeping in the locker room, and it was all really just he's a front runner, and he knows that his time is almost up, and he didn't want to finish out his career like that, but you know, those are the breaks sometimes. And, you know, so give him credit. He got himself out of this situation, got himself extricated. He's going to go to New England possibly and maybe win another Super Bowl. And he'll have to give back $4.2 million. He'll fight it every step of the way, but he might wind up having to give it back. And that's the risk he's taken. It's a gamble. And to him, it's worth it. So we'll see what happens from now on.
One of the things that always makes me laugh is just the amount of money that goes through professional sports, like the bank transfers that, you know, we will never experience. Mm-hmm. And just think about Martellus Bennett. Think about writing a $4.2 million check if that was it. Like, can you picture yourself giving away four? I mean, it's nuts to me that you have a deposit of or a withdrawal of $4 million on your bank account.
Yeah.
It's just so silly.
He's going to have to cash a CD in or something.
I guess so.
Or his 401k. He's going to have to dip into that bad boy.
So where does this leave the Packers at the tight end position? How much changes or doesn't change, and what can they get from Kendricks and Richard Rodgers?
Well, I think they get more in the passing game out of Kendricks, for sure. Rodgers, you know, we really haven't gotten a chance to see how much or if he's improved at all. He still has good hands. He's decent in the red zone. Kendricks, there was a play in the game against the game Monday night against Detroit where I saw him run a route down the middle of the field that could have been a touchdown if Hundley would have stuck in the pocket and actually thrown it. He can get down. He can still run. I think we'll see a little bit different use of the tight end. I think he might be a little bit more in line than Bennett was. I think you'll see him and Rodgers kind of rotate. I don't know if they'll use them together all that much. I think they'll go more to a wide receiver-centric offense. But Kendricks can do all the stuff that Bennett can. He just is not going to be a dominant blocker like Bennett was. Same with Rodgers.
And that, I think, is going to be really interesting to see because if teams do decide to really allow Hundley to have a chance to beat him throwing the ball by packing the box, you know, that is one area that they would really miss Bennett, is just having that extra guy in there that can, you know, chip or block or, you know, essentially be as big as a tackle. So, you know, I think both Richard Rodgers and Lance Kendricks are willing blockers. I just don't think they're very good. And so I don't think it's going to be a question of they shy away from it. I just think that there's, you know, some issues there.
They're not going to be able to take on defensive tackles or ends. Although, looking back at the game, I saw Kendricks do a really nice, I think they call it a wham block, where, you know, he was in motion and then he goes and he hits the nose tackle and Aaron Jones runs right behind him. I mean, that was a good block. They can function without, you know, with those guys. It's not impossible. It's just not going to be as good. And the trade-off is that I think they'll get more out of the passing game. Kendricks just has to catch everything. You know, no drop balls. He's got to focus. And, you know, if he can give him something down the middle of the field, that'll help.
What do you think is the likelihood of Ted Thompson adding a third tight end to the 53-man roster, you know, at any point soon? Because they still haven't put Bulaga on IR yet, have they?
No, they haven't. But, you know, they're saving that spot for Spriggs.
Very true.
So I think they'll see if they can get away with two tight ends. You know, they haven't been using the tight ends in the backfield very much. They don't go with fullbacks very often anymore. So I think they can get away with two. They can't let both those guys play special teams. I think they've got to take some of that away from them. But, you know, they got so many receivers that, you know, if they lost a tight end, I don't think it's – I think going with two tight ends is not a big deal.
Anything else you want to say about the tight end situation before we jump into some matchups here?
Only that, you know, Richard Rodgers is kind of the unknown factor here. We know he's never going to be a down-the-field threat. He's not a great after the catch. But for a guy like Hundley, I think he could be kind of a nice safety valve, just someone, you know, get the ball to up high, or, you know, he's a big target. He's got great hands. Hundley needs to use him a little bit when he gets in trouble.
Yeah, we've been discussing for a couple of weeks, even with Bennett here, we thought that he might play a little bit more, and he hasn't. And, you know, anytime you talk to tight ends coach Brian Angelico, he says, you know, the best asset Richard has is his hands. And so that's something that maybe Hundley can take advantage of, like you mentioned, is sort of a you know, a check down or a safety valve or anything short that, you know, he knows he can throw it to a guy that will more than likely hang on to it.
Yeah, and speaking of hands, I actually would like to go back and estimate how many yards they lost on Bennett's 7 drops. You know, I mean,
just
you
twist
think about
the knife.
It, that could have been, I'll bet you that's well over 100 yards.
Yeah.
Of
catch and run.
Catch and run. Yeah.
No, I agree. So when we look at the Bears now, we got a new quarterback to pay attention mm-hmm. to. Last time it was Mike Glennon in a disastrous performance that was basically just an implosion from the start. And now Mitchell Trubisky, the number 2 overall pick in this year's draft out of North Carolina. He's started 4 games. The Bears are 2-2 in those games. He doesn't throw it a whole lot, but he's got a lot of athleticism. And what do you think he presents in terms of a challenge for the Packers?
Well, probably the best thing that he presents is a guy who can hand off to Jordan Howard. You know, that's like his biggest threat to them. He's going to be a good quarterback. I mean, he's obviously very talented, has a lot of athletic ability. They just have a lasso around him right now. He is not going to lose them a game. You know, McCarthy said he thinks this will be a game where they finally let him loose. And against this defense, why not?
Yeah, right.
Too. It's just that they don't have a ton of wide receivers who can help him at this point. I mean, that's going to be for sure priority in the offseason for them. They need to get a go-to receiver. And I think we'll see him throw it a little bit more. I'm interested to watch him play. I think the Packers will go after him a little. Whether they can create any pressure, I don't know. They can't seem to create pressure against the good quarterbacks, the guys who can get it out of their hands really quickly. So maybe they can confuse him a little bit. I'm sure they can, actually. We'll see. But they'll start out running the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a heavy dose of the run, and the Packers probably will play a lot of base defense again, just like they did in the first matchup. So you'll probably have Kenny Clark in the middle and then Mike Daniels and Dean Lowry, I would imagine, would mm-hmm. be the guy that they use there. You know, in terms of, you know, this Packers base defense, do you think it's set up well enough to stop the run? I mean, we've talked about Nick Perry's issues in the pass game, but, you know, stopping the run has always been, you know, one of his strong points. They won't have Morgan Burnett, so that's another veteran presence. But I kind of think that this could be a game where Martinez and Ryan actually have a chance to do some things at a time when they're both starting to play a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, and this will be Kenny Clark's kind of game. So I expect to see a lot of him, Daniels, of course. Maybe we'll see a little bit more of Montrevious Adams. They could really use Quinton Dial in this game, but I'm kind of skeptical that he's going to play it in practice again today. So we'll see. You know, this will be a good test of their front seven.
Do you think that the inside linebacker group would use Joe Thomas at all this week, considering how much they're going to play against a heavy dose of run and contact, and they're down Morgan Burnett?
Yeah, I mean, they might want him. There will be some coverage situations where he might play. I'm just not sure that he's ready. I know I talked to him today, and he said basically they're testing it out, that this is his first week back practicing. And he felt good, but, you know, they have to figure things out at the end of the week. I think if he is up, he will play a little bit, probably on some third downs. But really, I think it's going to be Jake Ryan and Blake Martinez. And unless they want to play, they might play a little bit of that stack 4-3 where Clay Matthews comes off the line of scrimmage, plays that stack position. That's a good run defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because Morgan Burnett is out, they're probably going to go with Josh Jones again in the back end. And if he has a strength right now, it's definitely playing the run versus playing the pass.
Yeah.
And so he would give them another option to sort of slice through the line of scrimmage and make some plays that way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that let's talk about the Bears passing game. They're not going to throw it a ton. But based on what Josh Jones did and didn't do against the Lions, is he a guy that teams are going to try and exploit, you think, in coverage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. They will try to make him pay for some of his inexperience. There are some things the Lions did to him that tested him and he didn't do well, but there are other things where, you know, when he can come up to the line of scrimmage, he's a pretty effective tackler and very aggressive, and they need him on the field. They're going to have to live with his mistakes because he's an explosive player, and it's important to have him on the field.
We've spent a lot of time on this podcast this season talking about ways to use Kevin King and whether or not, you know, you have him shadow certain guys, whether you give him one side and have House play the other. So against a group of receivers like the Bears that's very nondescript and doesn't have, you know, a bona fide star, we're talking about Kendall Wright, Marcus Wheaton, Josh Bellamy. You know, they're going to use Tariq Cohen, obviously, but he's out of the backfield and a running back. So when you have a nondescript group of receivers, what do you do with Kevin King?
Just put him on one side and House on the other and Randall in the slot and go to town. That's it. I mean, they got to get those guys used to playing those positions. And like Joe Witt said Thursday, you got to get all three playing well at the same time. They can't all, you know, can't have alternating decent game or really alternating bad games. And you know, Randall's been better. House, despite giving up some catches, I thought he actually, his coverage was pretty good in the last game. King was kind of the slacker in this past game. So somehow they got to get those three together. But I don't think you do anything special. I think you make the Bears try to figure out, you know, the matchups they want.
I think this is an important game for Demaryius Randall. You know, obviously the incident that he had was against the Bears, but that's not why I think it's important. I think that, you know, the area that has sort of been questioned with him over his time in Green Bay has been, you know, maybe willingness to tackle, you know, be physical and those types of things. And so there's no doubt against a team that's going to run it as much as the Bears do that, you know, support from the cornerbacks is going to be very important in the run game, especially from that slot star position that Randall will be playing. And if he can embrace the physical side of things and play downhill and be forceful, I think that would really show the coaches a lot. But if he sort of recoils a little bit and goes back to his you know, older form where he shied away from contact at times, I think then you sort of know that, you know, that's not really going to go away with him.
Well, if anything, he should want to avenge last year's performance in Chicago when he got run over at the goal line.
I forgot about that.
Touchdown. Yeah, he just had a miserable game that day. And, you know, it was brutally cold. And he just didn't show up. I mean, he was still dealing with that groin injury, but he shouldn't have been on the field if he wasn't ready to play. So, yeah, he's got some making up to do against the Bears.
Anything else on the Bears' offense before we flip over to the D?
Did we mention Tariq Cohen?
Just very briefly.
That's a guy that, you know, they're going to have to cover out of the backfield. You know, that'll be important. He hasn't been as much of a factor lately. I think teams have kind of figured out what they do with him. You know, Jordan Howard's still the guy and the guy they're going to have to worry about. So, yeah.
And, you know, I know that Tariq Cohen is not by any means an exact replica of Theo Riddick, but Riddick was able to, you know, find success on that one screenplay after pretty much being shut down in just about every other area. Mm-hmm. And so all it takes is one little moment for those scat backs to really break free. And, you know, Winston Moss talked about the screenplays being a big thorn in the side of the Packers right now, whether it was the touchdown in Minnesota with Jerick McKinnon or the 63-yarder by Riddick. And so that could be an area to keep an eye on with Tariq Cohen as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so this Bears defense, I would say that this is probably, well, I mean, Minnesota's front seven is really, really good. But in terms of a unit that Brett Hundley knew he was going to face going into the game, this is the toughest so far, correct?
This is the second, probably the second best defense in the division. Minnesota's obviously number one. Detroit has a better secondary, but the front four for Chicago is really disruptive. And their linebackers are really aggressive. They gotta, you know, this is one of those games where the Packers' offensive line has to be sort of the factor, the X factor, the thing that allows them to win the game. Because if they can protect Hundley a little bit and get some running going, then they got a chance. Because Chicago's not going to score a ton of points, even against this lousy Packers defense. They're just not that good. So it's going to be really important for to see how the Packers show up on the run game. And of course, they're not going to have Brian Bulaga, and I'm expecting Justin McCray to start. He's hurt, though. If he for some reason couldn't play, then I would suspect Lane Taylor would move to right tackle. Boy, I'm having a bad day with my memory today. But Patrick would
Or they could play McCray at guard if they didn't think he was ready to play tackle, couldn't they?
Possibly. But I think if he's ready, he plays tackle.
Okay.
If he's not ready, he doesn't play at all.
Gotcha.
You know, that would be the question mark.
Regardless of who plays right tackle, that to me is going to be the most interesting matchup because whether it's Taylor or whether it's McCray, I think that both those guys, if they had to identify one type of rusher that they struggle with playing positions that aren't their natural positions, it would be speed guys mm-hmm. rather than power guys. Mm-hmm. And Leonard Floyd is about as quick of a guy as you're going to get off the edge, and with his body type, he's not going to beat you with power. I remember it was it last year here that Leonard Floyd had some real success against Bulaga?
Yeah, he was. Monster.
So if I'm McCray, that is a matchup that makes me a little bit nervous versus playing maybe a 4-3 end or a guy with a Nick Perry type of body if that was, you know, a scenario. So
yeah, well, they're going to have to help him.
No question.
They've got to help him. But one way, you know, the one thing that McCray brings is real nastiness in the run game.
Absolutely.
And so if you have him, he's better run blocker than Brian Bulaga is. Brian Bulaga is a pass protector and a darn good one. But McCray, you know, you put him on that side of the line. In fact, I was kind of surprised they didn't use him as a tight end against the Lions. I really thought that they could go some jumbo instead of going with their tight ends and get something going. I would be really curious to see that happen. It's not going to happen anymore. Maybe when Spriggs comes back, they could do it. But we'll see.
What do you think about the way the running back reps will be dished out this week? Do you think that, you know, there's any, you know, do you think there's any credence to the Aaron Jones being in the doghouse because of his pass protection angle, or was that overhyped? And what did they do with Montgomery?
Well, I went back and looked. Yeah, you know, Jones did give up a sack, and there was another time I think he gave up a pressure. I'm not completely done watching the game. But, you know, Montgomery's not exactly a great pass blocker. He's better, maybe.
I was thinking maybe Williams, since he played so well at the end.
Yeah, you know, Williams actually, watching him today in practice, I thought he played with a little bit more burst. And I've seen him on special teams. He's playing with a lot of burst. So, yeah, maybe they will play him a little bit more. Time to give him a little shot. But Aaron Jones has got to get the ball. He can't get the ball five times again. That's just ridiculous how you can freeze him out when he's the only thing you got going.
Do you think that this is an opportunity for Aaron Ripkowski to get some more snaps going against a defensive front like this, or are they more likely to try and spread Chicago out a little and run out of that type of alignment?
Yeah, I think they're more likely to try to spread, unless it's going to be hard to throw the ball with wind and rain. I think they would rather force Chicago to go to its sub packages and then try to hurt them that way. You know, again, it's not Aaron Rodgers playing, so you have to kind of take that into account as well. And maybe you do, you want to run the ball. You got to run the ball one way or another. Maybe you do it out of the spread. I don't know.
I still don't really have a feel for what type of a passing game to expect when Hundley's out there, because it seems to sort of either not have a real focus in terms of, you know, the Packers want to accomplish X, or it seems to change so frequently that I can't really figure out how they're trying to attack the opposing defense. You know, based on what you saw in practice this week, do you have any idea of what they might try and do? I don't really know what they do to get these guys open.
I'm going to say this, that, and I don't want to give away my story for Sunday, but there's a pretty easy, what I think is an easy solution, and not a solution, but an identifiable problem with what Hundley's doing, and it's fixable. The question is, how quickly can he get it fixed? It's something you'll see with young quarterbacks a lot. And there are open receivers. If you go back and look at the coach's copy of the game, there are open receivers, and he just didn't get the ball to them. And they got to keep working with him on that. And I'll get more into it on my story on Sunday.
So read the story on Sunday. Buy the paper.
Right, right. Or at least get it online. I think there's opportunities for them to move the ball. But Hundley has to prove that he can play like a pro-style quarterback. And he's got to make those throws, and he's got to identify his receivers, and then he's got to make the throws. So that's yet to be seen. But I did see some promise from what they were running against Detroit. There were open receivers.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the last two drives in the fourth quarter where they did put together touchdowns, or a touchdown and a field goal, I can't exactly remember. I know that was at a point in time when the Lions were, you know, pretty much content to give up everything underneath and all that. But I kind of wonder if the, you know, the same effect that when you look at a basketball player, a three-point shooter who's in a slump, they just see one go in and it helps them a lot. And so I wonder if Hundley, seeing drives move a little and seeing himself complete some passes, even though he probably knows in the back of his mind that Detroit was giving him a lot of that stuff, if that would just maybe help him a little bit.
I think if you go back and look at those drives, you'll see him go through his progressions a little bit more, pass in rhythm. And I think that was really critical for him. You know, hitting Adams over and over in the middle and Cobb, you know, on that crossing route, and just going through the normal throws that a quarterback has to make, especially in 2 minute like that, I think that was beneficial to him. But, you know, once again, it's how quickly this guy can become a pro-style quarterback. I think he's still working on it.
The one asterisk that I would sort of put on those two drives is that some of the throws that he made on those slants or routes over the middle, he really fired them into some tight coverage. And if anybody even gets so much as a finger on some of those, you're talking tip passes right over the middle of the field.
Yeah, but you got to. I mean, that's how you throw those balls. I mean, Aaron Rodgers throws those all the time. You know, you have to – that's a rhythm play, and you have to fire it sometimes into some traffic, sometimes between defenders. That's what good pro-style quarterbacks do. That's what, you know, you see Drew Brees do that all the time. We've seen two really good quarterbacks do that.
Yeah.
You know, Stafford throwing balls just pinpoint with coverage. I mean, there are guys covered in some of those plays. And
good throws can beat good coverage.
Yeah, every time. You can't be afraid of interceptions. You can't make dumb plays and be late down the middle or, you know, throw a late out or off your back foot. But when Hundley stepped into some throws and threw across the middle, I thought he was okay.
Anything else you want to talk about with the Packers offense?
We talked about Jones. I think they just have to keep running. You know what they're doing, finding out which routes that Hundley likes. And go with those a little bit more. I think everybody is in this process of change, you know, of evolution. They're evolving into something that's completely different than what they were doing before, just because it's a different quarterback. You know, the offense is the same, the routes are going to be the same, but it's picking the things that Hundley does well, and what connections he seems to have with the player, with the receivers, and they don't know that until he plays. And so they got to take the things they learned from the last couple games and go with it.
So all that said, who are you picking?
You know what? I am a moron who went with the Lions, and so my thinking is this happens to me all the time. I'm 1 week behind my thought process. My thought process is 1 week behind.
No? You didn't get the Lions right?
No, I picked the Packers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I'm going to say that the Packers are going to win this game.
Okay.
So I was too early last week. This week, I'm an idiot again, and I'm going to prove that to everybody by taking the Packers.
And I'm just going to be stubborn like a stick in the mud and say that I'm not going to pick the Packers until I see Hundley capable of winning a game. And so I took the Bears, but I think it could be ugly. Like, I think it could be 16-13, 13-9. You know, we could get some real ugliness.
Unless, you know, what if Hundley throws like four picks or something? Then it could be like, you know, 30-0.
True.
Something like that.
Very true.
I'm going to just have egg on my face. I might as well. I'm too deep in this hole.
So you have to have people join the live blog so they can, you know, just really dig it in if you're wrong again this week.
They were on me last week for, I love it. You know, they're just an angry bunch.
They were cranky Monday night when I jumped in there at halftime.
Yeah, and I mean, well, you know, they had a little bit of a right, but, you know, they don't necessarily see the big picture sometimes, and so that's okay. That's what we're here for. We're going to sort it all out for you.
Maybe it's a couple hours of therapy.
Maybe we're not as smart, you know, and a little too close to the action sometimes, but our job is to analyze it, and your job is to not kick your dog when they lose.
So be sure to check all of our coverage on JS Online and PackersNews.com, the live blog. We'll be up and running on Sunday. And until then, we will talk to you guys soon.
And yesterday you lost your job.
That's the breaks.
Well, these are the breaks. Break it up, break it up, break it up.